Hey everybody, welcome back to a Rocky Start Podcast. This is your host, Brian Argott. Glad to be back here on the show. I'm here with my dog, Biscotti, here today. Steve is out with a family time, and I wanted to do a little solo episode. I haven't done one of these in a while, and I just wanted to kind of break down some sports today and let you guys know what's in the works. Next week, we will be doing some sports card talk. I'm excited there. I'm going to try to bring my buddy Frank back on the show. And really started ramping up the sports card talk here and delivering some live content here this next week. I had put up an episode on my other podcast, A Rocky Start, with my good friend Marcus Gates. We talked about the fitness industry and everything like that, and his story as a bodybuilder and how he kind of got there. Went from being a a PE teacher, and just kind of how he communicates with not only with kids but with adults, and how all that has been a major success for him. But here on the show today, we're going to be talking a little bit of baseball. We're also going to be talking a little bit of basketball. I mean, yesterday was the NBA draft. We had Victor Wembanyama go first, of course. That was as predicted, to the San Antonio Spurs. They got their guy. They, you know, it's nuts. They got Robinson, you know, back in 89. They got Tim Duncan, you know, back in that draft. I think it was 97 Duncan. I got a sports card right here. 97 draft. Duncan goes number one there. He wins the finals for his first 2 years. And now they got Victor Wembanyama. Duncan retired, you know, my God, was it 5 years ago? Tim Duncan retired, I think. But now Wembanyama takes over. The Spurs have a lot of cap room this offseason. I'm just so curious to see what they do. I know they're going to try to make some moves. There's been rumors that they try to go out and make a move at the Lakers, Austin Reeves. Although he's a restricted free agent. Really curious to see what the Lakers do there. If they are going to match the offers that Reeves is supposedly going to get. I think he could get offered up to $97 million. So they are able to match that, and they have said that they will match any offer that is thrown at Austin Reeves. So good for him, young player. But there are a lot of other moves that the Spurs could do. I'm just curious to see what kind of guys they get around Victor Wembanyama here shortly. I mean, I think he's going to have the Luka Doncic impact right away on this team. I think he's probably the best prospect to come into the NBA since Luka. I know everyone's calling him, like, you know, the greatest since LeBron. Let's pump the brakes there. LeBron is, you know, it's really hard to fill those shoes from what LeBron did in 03 all the way to what he's done here today. But, I mean, comparing him to what Luka has done, I think it's pretty damn remarkable. Luka, you know, has won a lot of playoff games up to this point. He demolished the Phoenix Suns 2 years ago. this last playoffs, but the playoffs before, where they beat the Suns in seven. They beat them by like 30. It was an ass whooping, and you know, so what Luka's been able to do with really no talent around him, and you know, even talk about what Dallas did in the draft. They traded back to 12, from 10 to 12 to get a Lively. I don't know. I'm not gonna pretend like I know too much about these college guys. But a guy, from what they said in the draft, is a guy who, you know, plays good defense, and a lot, you know, just to see what they could have possibly done with that pick. Could have been maybe a little bit more, maybe someone that could have, you know, really took in the ball out of not only Kyrie's hands, but like, or not not only Luka's hands, but, you know, really helped him on that side. It just goes back to what they should have did with Jalen Brunson to, you know, last offseason. Just match that guy's, you know, offer sheet, get that guy in there, because he was a big help to how the Mavericks were able to really beat the Suns and beat Utah in the playoff run. You know, obviously we saw Jalen Brunson in the playoffs this year on the Knicks. He's been a hell of a player. And I think, you know, it's going to be one of the major factors if, you know, Luka does ask for a trade here in the next 2 years, because the Mavericks are not able to have a lot of success around him. It's going to be like what the Angels are dealing with Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani in the final year of his deal with the Angels, and you know, they're obviously pushing for a playoff spot, but I do wonder, you know, obviously the Mavericks have a few years to go here with Luka, but if they don't, you know, make a really prominent, you know, push to the finals by you know, this time next year, I do wonder, are we going to hear the Luka trade rumors? And I guarantee you're going to hear it, you know, throughout, you know, if they have a losing season this year, or, you know, maybe a not, you know, some to what they did this year. I mean, they obviously, they didn't make the play-in tournament. They didn't make the playoffs. They had one of the best five players in the league. And, you know, they need to really go out and make some stuff happen here. And I just don't think re-signing Kyrie and bringing that guy back is just going to do it. They got to really be creative here. And Luka also has to play better, of course. He has to, you know, be held accountable. He had a really bad season last year, and he's way better than what we had actually saw. So really curious to see what the Mavericks do there. Another interesting thing, the Charlotte Hornets took Brandon Miller, number two. They said they loved that guy. They apparently loved him in the workouts. And, you know, some people thought that, you know, they were just hyping him up at number two to possibly see who would be curious, you know, if Portland would trade up to get, you know, their guy, Scoot Henderson. Maybe, the, you know, it's just kind of something like that there. But nope, they weren't dangling him out there. They drafted their guy, Brandon Miller. He was on the phone earlier with Michael Jordan, saying, you know, Jordan was asking him if he was ready to get to work, and Miller was like, he was. I personally would have took Scoot Henderson. Just having all those reps with those big guys, with those guys like Steph Curry, you hear him working in the gym. That was the whole reason why I thought Charlotte was going to take him. Like, you know, Scoot going over there to Charlotte, you know, Curry, you know, getting towards the end of his career. Maybe he wants to go play for Charlotte in a few years, and maybe he doesn't end his career there for the Warriors. But nope, didn't work out that way. So you got Scoot Henderson going to Portland. Now all the Dame, you know, is Dame happy? What's going to happen there? It's like, you know, let's really get all this this going, because now Dame in Portland is going to be the major factor on see what is going to happen this offseason. He is the guy to go get. He is the guy that is actually going to, you know, make this free agency, you know, turn around. We saw the Bradley Beal trade. That was nothing. That was just a little bit of a spice of what we were going to get this offseason. You know, the freaking Kristaps Porzingis trade, that was a little bit. You know, we have some good free agents. Yeah, Draymond Green. I know an older Draymond Green. Got a Kyle Kuzma. You know, he's going to be someone who's going to have an impact on a team for sure. I'm not going to say he's going to be the best two guys on a team, but he'd be one of the best three guys on a basketball team. Just curious to see where he's going to go. I know he's going to command some money. I see him, you know, making at least $100 million, I would say. You know, he's a young, talented player. He could score the ball. He gets better every year. Someone that works on his game really clearly. So I think once that Dame domino falls, the rest of the offseason is going to kind of roll in the hand, you know, and kind of just go from there, especially with the new CBA kicking in just about a week here. We have 1 week until the new CBA kicks in, and those tiers, or as they call them, I forget, floors, or you know, the second apron. There you go. That's what it is. The second apron, those tiers, whatever. It's going to really make some major impacts on those teams with high salaries. But I really love what the Celtics did. I don't want to just overlook the CP3 trade. Although I don't know how it's going to work out in Golden State. I know everyone's saying that, oh my God, this is going to be great and all that. It does sound great. Curry not having the ball all the time does sound great, because Curry moving around without the basketball is probably the scariest thing in the league to watch, because he's just so damn deadly without the ball. That guy just getting open for half a millisecond is super scary. So I'm just really curious to see what happens there with CP3. I just don't know how durable he's going to be, so that really scares me. But I do like the move for the for the Celtics, getting Kristaps Porzingis on that trade, sending, you know, Marcus Smart over to Memphis. They got some draft picks in return. Washington, you know, they are able to get Trey Jones, who I really like, who I thought was really good. Damn, you know, I really would, I would have liked Trey Jones on Phoenix over for Bradley Beal. I mean, God, they could have got him working out his salary and kind of made a little bit more of the Chris Paul trade. Damn, I would have really liked to see him on Phoenix, actually. But now he's on Washington, and now Jordan Poole's over on Washington. I'm not out on Jordan Poole. I know so many people have hung that up. I really think Jordan Poole is still a young, talented player. I mean, what he did in the on that playoff run 2 years ago to when the Warriors made the finals, he was really one of their best players. I know Andrew Wiggins was the anchor of that team, I would say. Of course, Curry was the best player of the team, but Wiggins was just as damn good, you know, defensively, what he provided offensively. But so was Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was really damn good. He you know, was a big spark off the bench. He could score, and I'm really curious to see if he's able to grow there in Washington. You know, maybe, you know, we're obviously going to see how he is. You know, he's going to be the focal point now on the basketball team. So you know, that's good though. I mean, Washington's not obviously trying to win. So I mean, but I do think they are going to be possibly better than they were last year, rather than having Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, and Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis, I thought, played really well this last year, and I think maybe if he is in the right role in Boston, which I think he will be, and God, I think he's going to be a really efficient scorer with them. I obviously, we'll see what happens with Jaylen Brown. Is Jaylen Brown going to stay, or is he going to get traded? It seems like everyone's kind of penciled him in for staying. Obviously, he could make the most money with the Celtics, so why not? He could still be traded in a year from now if he wants out of there, and I'm sure he wants the most money he possibly can. Can't blame that guy. He's been on the Celtics for a long time now. I think he was in the 2016 draft, so he, you know, the guy is a really good scorer. It's just, man, he has to work on those ball handling skills, man. Just turn the ball over too much, you know, forcing him. Seems like teams figure him out, let him go left, and you know, he can't do anything. I still think he's better than that. What I saw him do last year in the finals, I thought he was the best player on the Celtics in the finals, and I thought he played really good actually. I think he just had a really bad playoff run this year. And I think it's the right move for the Celtics to bring him back at least for one more year before they let that ship sail. But yeah, a lot of moves happening. What else did I talk about? Chris Paul, all that. But yeah, not a lot of moves. My Pistons, you know, did well in the draft. Got one of the Thompson twins. We'll see how they could make things go. I need to do a whole episode about the Pistons and my frustration with them. And you know, they got their coach, and I say that with asterisk because I'm just they paid Monty Williams all this money, a guy who I think, you know, walked in or not walked in to a situation because they got Chris Paul in trade, but Chris Paul really helped him with two Coach of the Year awards. Chris Paul, who's you know, just that kind of player and turns those teams around a lot. Obviously, isn't the winning player because he's never won a finals. Had the chance there in Phoenix, up 2-0, but no, they blew it. But yeah, enough basketball there. Talking a little bit of baseball. So some of the stuff happened here today in baseball. Reds win again, or are about to win again. They're up 10-7 on Atlanta. Them, you know, Joey Votto hit a game time bomb today. Then he went and hit a second home run for a go ahead home run. They're up right now 10-7 on the NL favorite Atlanta Braves. Other big news that happened with the Mets: Eduardo Escobar was traded to the Los Angeles Angels for two minor league prospects, right-handed pitchers. Eduardo Escobar, who is in the last year of his deal with the Mets, and a player who is sort of frustrating, just as far as like he did play well last year, not having a good season this year. The Mets will play all but the minimum of Escobar's salary, which is $9.5 million. I think it was just kind of open up that spot, you know, just having him in the infield, having our young prospects, you know, trying to just open up to create some room. He was hitting better as of lately, with the Mets, and not too well. He's only batting 236, but he was batting way worse before. And he's a guy who has been dealing with injuries. But like I said, losing playing time to Brett Beatty and Luis Guillorme, he's definitely a great clubhouse guy. But, you know, just getting him out of there. I was really hoping that, you know, this trade happened mid-game with the Mets and the Phillies. And Lindor was responding, saying he's one of the best teammates I've ever had. We're going to miss him a lot. I was actually hoping in my mind for a second when I was reading those thoughts, I was like, damn, why couldn't Francisco Lindor be traded? everyone, for those of you guys who don't know, on the show, I'm a big Mets fan, and I'm very critical of Francisco Lindor. He's not the player that people make him out to be. They think he's like this big all-star. God, go look at his batting average and, you know, tell me what he's done in the Mets in three seasons. And I will, you know, make that case that making the trade for him is one, give me one, go down as one of the worst trades for the Mets in MLB history. But Escobar traded. Mets are still sliding. I mean, they are 34-40, losing to the Phillies right now, trying to make it 34-41. The Mets send down Tyler McGill. They option him to Syracuse. Tyler McGill, right-handed pitcher, who was supposed to have a lot of promise in the bullpen this year, or not bullpen, starting pitcher. He had some quality years in the past for the Mets. No, not that great now. Obviously, sending him down. He got killed in his last start again. I think let me see what his ERA is. He got off to a good start with putting up a 3.00 ERA, but now his ERA has shot up over 6 to 6.08 on just over 50 innings. God, that's terrible. He was a lot better. He's 27 years old too, so it's not like he's a really young pitcher there. But man, the Mets having a lot to deal with. Let's see who else. Ellie De La Cruz lighting it up again. His third home run of the year. Like I said, Cincinnati's trying to win their 11th in a row. The Reds are exciting. They are a big threat to win that division. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit his first home run in Toronto. It's kind of funny. June 23rd here, and his first home run there. You just think of that guy. It's like, you know, raking. Not having a bad season. He's definitely hitting for average more than just trying to swing for the long ball this year. That's another team just in that loaded division, trying to keep steam ahead. Right now they're playing the Oakland A's as they're going. J-Rod is going back to the Home Run Derby. Home Run Derby should be fun this year. Got a lot of promising guys. Hopefully Ellie De La Cruz will be on that list of young players, you know, to go there. Be a lot of excitement. All-Star Game is in Seattle this year. We're less than 3 weeks away from that. And then, you know, when that comes, here comes the trade deadline. We're going to see a bunch of trades going. So hopefully, all that's getting ready. We also got the London series going on here pretty soon. Stage is set. We have the Cubs versus the Cardinals. That's going to be really fun. The Cardinals aren't as good as we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. This team is I thought the Mets were being underwhelming. God, the Cardinals are even worse. And it doesn't look like they are going to be able to even turn it around. They're in a division where they have all four other teams too competing as well. And they're 11 games out right now. So not looking good for the Cardinals as they take on the Cubs, who are definitely fighting for that division as well. There's going to be a lot more baseball talk. Me and Steve are going to be back here on Monday. We're going to go over all the games and all the updates and see what else happened here as well. I guess there is one more thing I did need to touch on. Wander Franco being benched for 2 games because he doesn't know how to handle his own frustrations this season. This guy's a third in MVP voting. He's having a great year. And Kevin Cash on his handling of Franco said Wander is a good kid, really good person. Cash said prior to Thursday night's matchup, He's a young player that is learning and dealing with the challenges of being a major league player. This is a guy who signed a $200-something million contract, by the way, playing in the major leagues, and some of his frustrations that come with it. Over the course of this season, there's probably been multiple times that the way he has handled his frustrations have not been the way we ask of our players and to uphold being the best teammate. And again, this is the leader of that Tampa Bay Rays team. Of course, they have all the support of Wander. He is their best player. Slashing .287 this year, 34 ribbies and 24 stolen bases for the guy, and 8 home runs. And like I said, which the 24 stolen bases ranks third in the league. He's having a hell of a year. He's still a really young, talented player. He's only 22 years old. He's going to be a guy where, you know, this kind of stuff is just kind of, he's 22. Hopefully he learns from it, obviously. And, he's not that young. Come on, Wander. You're better than that. Your team needs you out there. You guys are, going for the best record in all of baseball, and you need to step it up and be the leader of the team. That's what your team needs you for. You play in a prominent, position on the infield, shortstop, and you're trying to, win the MVP. I mean, you're trying to be the MVP. That should be your expectations. I mean, just because Shohei is leading it there, I mean, you're second. I mean, Judge has been out now for a few weeks, and each game that guy's out, it kind of diminishes his favorites to win it. And Wander could be, second up in line, for the MVP spot. So, Wander, you come on, grow up a little bit. You are better than that, and I want to see you out there. You're one of my favorite players to watch in the league. But that'll be everything I got for you guys today. With me and Steve, we'll be back on Monday talking a lot of baseball. We'll be talking some NBA too, because I'm sure a lot of stuff's going to happen and go down over the next few days as we get ready for free agency to start. I hope you guys all have a good weekend. Please do not forget to subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating and review. And don't forget to check out my latest episode on a Rocky Start podcast where I interviewed my good pal Marcus Gates. And we'll be bringing some sports card content next week as well. Super excited for all of it. Hope you guys enjoy your weekend, and thank you for tuning in.